This week, I got a good visit from an old friend. A friend who I have spoken a little bit about from time to time over this past year. A friend who, in the stories that I've shared, you've seen him check your history. A history that has followed him everywhere he goes. He was my right-hand man in ministry in Charlotte on the west side. He was a friend, he was a brother. Anything that I needed, any advice that I needed about what to do in the neighborhood that I wasn't familiar with, that I was learning about, I would go to my brother Ray and ask him his thoughts, his ideas, his opinions. What should I do? What should we not do? Ray was truly my right-hand man in ministry. But he had a checkered history. History that involved drugs and abuse, neglect, among other things. He's the kind of person that most people, even seeing him physically, would cause you to look down upon him. Because of his record, yeah. Because of the decisions that he's made throughout his life, because of his appearance, folks have often seen Ray and not really wanted to engage or help or whatnot when he was in need. Even some of the folks from our former ministry in Charlotte on the west side, from time to time, wanted to stop helping Ray in his time of need because of various things that he said or did, maybe an inappropriate comment around children, maybe something they had learned that he had done. And the truth is that Ray challenged us quite often in the charitable work that we did on the west side of Charlotte. He put before us questions that we really didn't want to have to think about or answer. Given a decision or an attitude or an action that he had taken, should we continue to extend a charitable hand? Or should we decide that something had gone too far? That he wasn't being responsible with the help that we offered, that he wasn't being appropriate in the service that he offered with us in that community. There were even times when his actions would cause us to question whether he should still be involved in helping us with our charitable work, whether that designation right-hand man was something that we could move forward with. You see, we as the directors of a nonprofit, we had a kind of power over Ray. Power to choose whether he got help, he and others around him in the community. A power to choose that he and others around him did not get help. To choose who got to do the work with us and to choose who didn't get to do the work with us. And we were responsible to those decisions. You know how organizations work, right? Nonprofits, you got a board of directors, you got to be responsible to those folks. You got to make decisions that are going to show your funders that you're doing the right thing. Having someone like Ray around with such a checkered history didn't always make those folks feel too comfortable. Each of us has such power. Power to help those around us. Power to love those around us. Power to welcome those before us. And Jesus, in his own day, had that power as well. The way that Jesus uses power to welcome, to help, to heal people is perhaps never more clear than in the story that you got a glimpse of through what the choir just sang. Story of a man at the pool of Bethesda. To revisit that story in John chapter 5, beginning in the first verse, if you will. If you'd like to read along, go for it. I'm going to read from the Common English Bible. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate in the north city wall, there's a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda. It had five covered porches, and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it's stirred up. When I'm trying to get to it, someone else has gotten in ahead of me." Jesus said to the man, "Get up! Pick up your mat and walk." Immediately the man was well, and he picked up his mat and he walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. The Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. You're not allowed to carry your mat." The man answered, "Well, the man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" The Jewish leaders inquired, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Pick it up and walk'?" The man who had been cured didn't know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away from the crowd that was gathered there. Now later, Jesus found the man in the temple and said, "See, you've been made well. Don't sin anymore in case something worse happens to you." The man went and proclaimed to the Jewish leaders that Jesus was the man who made him well. As a result, the Jewish leaders were harassing Jesus since he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus replied, "My Father is working, and I'm working too." For this reason, the Jewish leaders wanted even more to kill Jesus. Not only because he was doing away with the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, thereby making himself equal with God. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, that man at the pool was left out. Everyone rushed ahead of him to get to the pool. Why? Well, it was believed at this time that when the waters of the pool stirred, that was something mystical, something spirit-filled happening. And if you could get to those waters first, that God would heal you. That was the belief. And so this man who was lame, we don't know everything that was going on with him, was trying his best to be the first to that pool so that he could get healed. But what does the story say? Everyone rushed ahead of him. No matter how hard he tried, he could not get to that pool. No one paid attention to him. No one lent him a helping hand. No one stopped except for Jesus. Now, keep in mind that in this day, people who were sick, like this man, were thought to be so because of something that they had done wrong. It's a reap what you sow mentality, right? If you do wrong, you'll get a punishment. And that punishment often comes in the form of blindness and lameness and all kinds of other sicknesses that the world at that time really couldn't explain. They didn't know how humans got them. And so they believed that they were the consequences of your actions. The folks judged those around them. Their sickness was perceived to be their own fault. And so it's very plausible to assume that no one helped this man at the pool because they believed he was a product of his own doing, of his own decisions, of his own actions, that he had done wrong and his ailment was simply the harvest of his wrongdoing. So if he wanted healing, he would have to repent and turn in a different direction. In other words, if he wanted help, he needed to first help himself. But then Jesus comes in, and Jesus stops when no one else had stopped. Jesus pays attention to this man when no one else in society would pay attention to this man. Jesus offers a helping hand to this man when no one else had done so. There's no conditions. Jesus doesn't say, believe and you'll be made whole. He does that in other stories. In this one, he doesn't. There's no condition of belief. There's no condition of faith. In fact, whereas in the book of Mark, we often get a word from Jesus about your faith has made you whole. Not in this story. The man is simply healed. There doesn't appear to be any remorse from this man, as if he had done something wrong. He doesn't repent from anything that he might have transgressed. Jesus simply says, pick up your mat and walk. The man doesn't even answer Jesus' question. Did you get that in the story? Jesus asks him, do you want to get well? Pretty simple, yes or no question, right? There's no yes or no from the man. He just gives an excuse. An excuse about why he hadn't been able to get to the pool. As if to say, of course I want to get well, but here's the reason why I can't. And yet Jesus still heals that man. Get up. Carry your mat and walk. Immediately he was healed, Scripture says. Doesn't say that he obeyed Jesus and then he was healed. Doesn't say he got up, carried his mat, and then he was healed. No, it says immediately after Jesus' words, this man was healed. Then he followed Jesus. Amazing. Incredible. No requirements, no conditions. Jesus just freely offers his time, his attention, his help, his healing, his love. This is a story that challenges us in our new mission and vision at Hood Memorial Christian Church. A mission focused exactly on what this story is focused on. Everyone. All. Last week, we voted as a congregation to approve this mission and this vision statement, and we're starting to plaster them around, so you may see it on a bulletin board outside, or notice that it's on the website now. We'll start sending it and proclaiming it everywhere that we can. You'll be sick of it after a while. Our mission at Hood Memorial Christian Church is to serve Christ through mutually supporting one another and embodying God's grace and love for all. Because we envision a diverse church that is led by Christ to open its doors in love and service to all. That is our new mission and our new vision. And this story of this man at the Pool of Bethesda pushes us to the very edge of what that word all means. This man at the pool is a part of all, you see. We are called, like Jesus, to welcome everyone. To offer the healing, grace, mercy, and love of Jesus to all people. Jesus healed a man who society had judged to be sinful, who society had treated as unworthy of being healed. And not only that, Jesus does it on the Sabbath. The very day when no healing is supposed to take place. No work is supposed to be done. It's like a double whammy. In your face, Pharisees, Jesus effectively says, not only am I going to heal the very people that you judge to be wrong and sinful and immoral, but I'm going to do it on a day when it's not supposed to happen. Jesus' actions and his words in this encounter tell us that we should never, ever look down on someone unless we are helping them up. We are not called to judge. We are not allowed to forget certain people in our community. We're not allowed to cast someone off, to push them aside. No, we are called to pay attention to those that our society would leave behind, just like this man at the pool. So who are those people? Well, I'm not going to pretend to answer that question for you. But I will pose a few questions. Who are the people that we have left behind? Who does society deem as unworthy of our attention, of Jesus' attention? Who has society deemed as unworthy of welcome? Who has society judged and cast off because they see that person as a product of their own decisions, their own mistakes, their own wrongdoing? You see, each one of those people that we name in answer to any of those questions is a part of all. The all of our mission, the all of God's mission. And brothers and sisters, Jesus welcomes those folks. Welcomes them into his home, into his life, into the very salvation that we each partake of. He stops in front of such persons. He asks them if they want healing, and he heals them. He heals them because it was the right thing to do. Because that is God's way. My brother Raynard tells me that today he feels left out. That he feels uncared for, looked down upon, cast off by our brothers and sisters who were still in Charlotte doing ministry there. Ray tells me that he rarely goes over to participate in anything happening in our former community in Charlotte. And that's a hard pill for me to swallow, because I was a part of it. Yet the mission of our former ministry there was to inspire, enrich, and embody community. Simple, good, sounds nice. Yet I wonder how well we really did that, given the situation today with Ray. You see, years from now, we too, at Hood Memorial Christian Church, will look back and we'll reflect on how well we lived out our new mission. We may easily answer that question, how well did we live into our mission, with respect to the people who we helped, who it was easy to help, people that were easy to love, people that were easy to offer our grace and forgiveness, people that are easy to welcome into our doors. But the most important place to answer those questions about how well and effective we were in our mission and vision, the most important place to answer those questions will be with people like my friend Ray. People with whom we struggle. People who are different. People who make us uncomfortable. People who say inappropriate things. People who don't seem to be living what you or I might consider a moral life. People whose records might be as checkered as Ray's. People whose appearance may not be like yours or mine. People who are not like us. The truth is that Raynard is the man at the Pool of Bethesda. And there are folks across this community just like him who will challenge us in the months and the years to come, who will push us to our very limits. And we may be tempted to think something ill of them, to judge them, to question their decisions or their attitudes, their perceptions, their beliefs, or their lifestyle. The question before us today and in the days ahead is this: will we follow Jesus through the way that he treats the man at the pool? Will we stop? Will we pay attention? Will we offer a helping hand? Will we offer whatever healing that we have within our midst? The truth is, someone did that for you at some point along your life. Will we follow Jesus and offer our unconditional welcome, unconditional service, unconditional healing, unconditional love, unconditional grace? I pray that we will keep Jesus' actions in this story, this scene, this sacred place at the Pool of Bethesda, in the forefront of our hearts and our minds as we seek to live out this new mission and become exactly what we say in this new vision. To serve Christ through mutually supporting one another and embodying God's grace and love for all. Amen.